you know, a time of great blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I know that the time is far gone, it's far spent. So we just want to share a few scriptures before we go and rest, and then come back tomorrow. The scripture I want to share is the scripture about Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19, the Bible says that he was a rich man. You know, when the Bible says you are rich, sometimes we just think of rich in money. But somebody can be rich in other things also. Somebody can have a lot of ambition, is rich in ambition. Somebody can have a lot of talent. Somebody can have can be rich in in the things in the world. But the story of this man is very interesting, because even though he was rich in the physical things of the world, he knew there was something he was not rich in, that he didn't have. And he knew he was not rich in the things of God. And he is such an example to every one of us, because he made great sacrifice to make sure that he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that in verse in Luke 19, and that in verse 3, that he sought to see Jesus. Yes, verse 3, Luke 19, verse 3. Say, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not, for the press, because of the crowd. Because it was little of stature, it was not a tall person. He didn't have the strength to overcome the crowd. So I don't know if that speaks to your condition. You know, sometimes when we want God, we want everything to be smooth for us. We want everything to be, you know, no problem. We just, you know, but this man, he was not discouraged because of his circumstance. There are so many people who are making excuses. I cannot see God because I do not have this. I'm a poor man. Like this. So there are different complaints. I can't even eat food, and you're telling me to see God. I'm looking for a job, and you're telling me to see God. I'm looking for this, and I'm looking for that, and you know, so many people are making excuses. But this man did not make any excuse. Look at all the problem. He was a short man. There was a big crowd. And he was not discouraged. Amen. And when you look at the Bible, it's difficult to see any man who was able to have an encounter with God without overcoming the difficulties of life. So the question is, what difficulty do you have? What challenge do you have? The Bible says that there are people before you who also had the same challenge. And we see the example of Zacchaeus. He had the challenge, but he determined himself that I will see Jesus. And we'll see that, you know, that God knows the cry of the heart, and God listens to the cry of your heart. Now look at verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Yes, go on. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at the house. So you see, the man had a cry in his heart. And Jesus located him. So the thing is, if you have a cry in your heart to meet with God, these few days they were good to be here, Jesus Christ will locate you and he will come down to you. He will tell you to come down, that salvation is going to come to your house in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 9. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see the complete story, that the man was hungry for God. Are you hungry for God? Do you want to touch God? Wherever you are, the Bible says God will reach out and touch you. In the name of Jesus. Now look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it says, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. And we see this scripture fulfilled in the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus speaks of you. Zacchaeus had a need. He was rich, but within him he knew he was empty. And he also had difficulty, there were obstacles. And he determined in his heart, I must see Jesus. And you know, and as he began to cry out, God came to him and touched him. And I want to prophesy to you that if you cry out to God, these few days will be here. You will be filled. God will meet you at the point of your need. Amen. Okay, let me show you another example. Acts chapter 10. You see another man that was crying out for God. It's an example of another man who was crying out for God. See, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. A centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. That he gave much alms to the people. And he was seeking and praying to God all the time. And as he was praying, he saw a vision. And an angel of God came to him and called him Cornelius. Look at verse 4. It says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. So this was a man that was not even born again. His case is different from your own. He was seeking to know God. He had not heard the gospel. He was just doing whatever he could. He was giving alms. He was fasting. He was praying, crying out for God. Amen. Now, what did God do to him? Did God ignore him? The Bible says God answered him. And he sent an angel. And I want to prophesy to you that if you open your heart and cry out to God, God is going to send an angelic visitation to you. There will be a ministry that will come from God. There will be a visitation that will come from God. There will be a revival that will come from God. And God sent Peter to go to him. Amen. So it's another example to show that when we hunger and when we thirst for righteousness, that God will answer us. Okay, let's see another example in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, this is the story of the woman of Samaria. This was a woman that had married 5 husbands. I'm going to cut the story short. I know many of us are tired. But the Bible says he had married 5 wives, 5 husbands. There was something she was looking for. She will marry the first one. It didn't satisfy. She will change her mind another one. It didn't satisfy. He looked for another one. It didn't satisfy. There was a cry in her heart. She was looking for reality. And this Samaritan woman is speaking of each and every one of us here. Because every man is created to be a bride of Christ. But we have been marrying the wrong husband. We have been going to the wrong place. There are some of us, there is a cry in our heart. We think we can satisfy that cry by entertainment, by fashion, by school, by food, by sexual relationship, by drinking and pleasure, you know, different things. The Bible calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And the Bible says that those things will not satisfy the emptiness in our hearts. I want you to know that just like your body cries out for food, your inward man also cries out for life and energy. Many people think that when they eat food, when they have good food, that all their problems are solved. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that food for the belly for food. Two of them will not measure up. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's not what to eat. It's not what to drink. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness and power in the name of Jesus. By the way, if you are feeling sleepy, you can stand up and just walk around. It will help you. You will not be there for long. You know? So this woman had a hunger in her heart. And I want to ask you today, do you have a hunger in your heart? How many husbands have you married? What have you given yourself over to? And I want to say that God hears the cry of your heart. And this meeting has been designed for you. You can benefit from it. If your response will be like that of Zacchaeus. If your response can be like that of Cornelius. And if your response can be like that of this woman you saw. Because Jesus said, give me some water to drink. And he began to speak to her about the water of life. Many of us are not aware of the water of life. The Bible tells us that God created you in three natures. There are three natures in you. There is your physical body, which needs energy. You eat in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. It is for your body. And the Bible says your body is just a house. There is a man that lives inside the house, and the Bible calls it the inward man, which is made up of your soul and your spirit. Your soul needs water, the water of life. And this water of life is not physical water that I'm drinking. It is the living water. And it's only Jesus that can give it to you. If you come to Jesus and say, God, give me this living water, quench the thirsting of my soul. You know, David in the Psalms was crying out. In Psalm 63, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. He says, my soul dwells in a dry and thirsty land. In Psalm 42, he says, as the heart or as the animals hunger after physical water, so my soul longs after you. So why are you here today? You came with your parents or with your auntie or uncle, or you came to see Brother Ronald, or you came to see us, or your soul is crying out for God. Is that a cry in your soul? He says, my soul longs and thirsts for you as a thirsty land. Have you seen a desert before? In the desert, everything is dry. That is how the soul of man is. Amen. If you eat food, it will not make that soul to receive water. If you have money, like Zacchaeus, your soul will still be dry. If you give yourself to entertainment, it's like pouring water into a hole. Because the emptiness is so much. There is only one thing that can meet the desire of your heart, and that's what Jesus told the woman: I have water that will meet your need. He says, if I give you the physical water, you will drink and you will come back again. But there is a fountain of life that I will give to you. He says, when you drink that water, you will never thirst again. How many people in this room have drank that water? You have touched Jesus. He has given you the water of life. He says that when you drink that water, it will be like a spring. It's like a fountain. Always bubbling. Always there is a
a cry in your heart for God.
I want you to know that God has made a provision. A provision for your soul. There is a place in God where the water is running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 7 days a week. There is a constant flow of life. That place is called Zion. Just like Kinshasa is a place, in a natural, you know, a place in Africa where men are dwelling. I want you to know that there is a place in the spirit called Zion, where the souls of men dwell. Some people call it the Garden of Eden. That's where Adam was at the beginning. But when sin came, the sin removed him. Because God, it's the sin that removed him. Amen. But you and I have opportunity to go back into Zion. To come into that place. The Bible said there are four rivers running in that place. There are four rivers. So let's just look at those rivers briefly. In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We'll just look at the rivers. We won't waste time. We'll talk about it. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it divided into four parts, four heads. Your soul has four parts. And each of these river is to minister to a specific part of your soul. So your soul has the mind as one of the sections. So has the mind, has the emotion, has the will, and has the desire. So there are four natures. And these rivers, we are meant to minister to the forehead. Now, verse 11. It tells us the name. Each one of them has a name. And the name tells us what God designs to do for you through these rivers. He said the first one is Pison. And it means increase. So it has a message for you. That God has made a provision to increase you. If you come to this place of fellowship with God, you will never lack. You will never lack. Because God will increase you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at the second name. In verse 13. The second name is Gihon. And Gihon means bursting forth, a breakthrough. Many of us have many chains that are binding us, they are binding our legs, binding our hands, binding our hands, our hearts. We see a lot of bondages. Some of us are bound to our traditional, the altars in our father's houses. We are bound to the altars in our mother's houses. We are bound to the altars in our tribes, even in our nation. There are so many bondages. But the Bible says that there is a place where there is a breaking through. That if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you open your heart to God, God will bring you to that place where there is a bursting forth. In Zion, there will be a, God will break the chains, the bondages. In fact, the Bible says that everyone in Zion, in Psalm 84, you see, everyone in Zion goes from strength to strength. And that every one of them will appear before God. Many of us want to appear before God. We want to dwell in the presence of God. We find it difficult. But there is good news for you today. That there is a place where chains are broken. As you open your heart to God, you will come to the experience of Gihon, where the chains will be broken. And these few days will be here. There will be chains that will be broken in our lives in Jesus' name. You will not go back with any chain. Every bondage will be broken. There will be a liberty and release. But you must hunger after God. You must thirst after God. You must open your heart to God. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that God is. He must believe that there is a reality of God. That there is a reality of a loving God. That God loves you. That God knows about you. Just like he knows about Zacchaeus. Just like he knew about Cornelius. Just like he knew about that woman who was struggling. Who was struggling through life. Crying out. She was crying out for God. The Bible says that God knows about you. Amen. And he is coming to break the chains in your life. He said that in that day that the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing.
Amen.
And the Bible said that there is an anointing in us. The Holy Spirit in you. The seed of Christ that is within you is the anointing that is within
you.
If you submit to that anointing, every yoke will be broken in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 14, give us two of the names, the third and the fourth one. He says, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel. It means rapid. The water that flows very, very
rapid.
Have you gone to Congo River? Is Congo slow or rapid? How is it? Is this fast flowing or is slow? Huh? It's rapid. Yes, because when we crossed over to Brazza, it was flowing very, very rapidly. Amen. So that's what God says He's going to give you. Strong waters. It means, speaking of a powerful move of God.
He's
speaking about a powerful visitation of God. And you know, the water has a lot of power. Water can move this house. If this power is strong, it will move everything in Kinshasa. We will sweep it away. You have heard of the tsunami. Okay? You see the power of the water. Now, speaking of strongholds in your life, there are some strongholds. You have fasted. You have cried. And it has not gone. He's saying you should come to this experience where God will send a strong move of God, a quick intervention of God. He's speaking about an intervention of God. He will intervene, and it will be quick, and it will be on time. And I believe that that's what this period is going to be. It's going to be a quick intervention of God. But you must believe that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. We have already seen some examples this night of those who are seeking after God. There's another man called Bartimaeus. You know, the Bible says he was a blind man. And many of us are blind. I want you to know that just like you have eyes in your body, there are also eyes in your heart, in your soul. Because the soul God created it to be like Him, God. Psalm 94 says, God that created the eye, does it mean that He will not see? God that created the ear, does it mean that God will not hear? So there is an ability in you to hear God. There is an ability in you to know the plan and the purpose of God for your life. Many of us, we are just confused. We do this business today. After 3 months, it's not working. We'll go and try another one. After 6 months, it's not working. We leave it, go for another one. We're just going around like that because we are blind. We are like blind Bartimaeus. We do not know a plan for our lives. Some of the young women, you are confused. You don't know what to do. You want to marry that brother from the Mumbashi. You want to marry the other one from Goma. You want to marry the other one from Bujumai. The one from Mumbashi has a motor. The other one has so and so and so. Confused. How about the young man? Oh, you like this one because she sings very well. You like the other one because you like the way she's walking. Because there is blindness. So it speaks of blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. And you have no reason to be blind. Because Jesus has come
to set you free. The man cried out. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me. They say, keep quiet. As they were saying, keep quiet, he was shouting even more. Amen. Do you have that kind of attitude? There will always be obstacles, things that will discourage you from seeking after God. Maybe they say, oh, that this meeting is going to be all night. Or tomorrow we are going to fast. So, no, me, I cannot fast too. I cannot fast too. Amen. Those are obstacles. But if you are like blind Bartimaeus, you will cry even the more. The more they bring the obstacle, the more you push. In your environment in Congo, it's very harsh. Physical conditions are very harsh. There is lack. There is a lot of need, physical need. There is, you know, very few jobs. There, you know, so much challenge. There's a man called Jacob. The Bible says that he planted, and in the same season he got a hundredfold reward. There was famine in the land. I want to tell you that the problem in Congo is not your problem. The problem is that it may be that you are blind. It may be that you are blind. You have not gone to God. I say, God, open my eyes. There was a woman called Hagar. She was crying out, oh God, I have no water to feed my child. The Bible said that God opened her eyes and she saw water by her hand. I want to let you know that there is a provision of God for you, but you have not gone to God. I say, God, open my eyes to see your provision for me. Many of us do not know God because we are blind. The Bible says that this is life eternal, that they may know thee. God can open your eyes and you can know him. You can have a living reality of relationship with God. As you see Ronald, that's how you can relate to God in the spirit. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. I want you to know that you are a spiritual being. There is a spirit in you, and your soul is also of a spiritual nature. Your soul has the ability to see. You can see into the plan of God for you. God can also open your eyes. You can see the plan of the enemy for you also. Joseph was able to see. And God showed him Herod, what he was planning against the child. He was able to see the plan of Herod to kill the child Jesus. Many of us behave as though we cannot see. Our Christian experience is a testimony of blindness.
an experience of deafness, an experience of lameness, an experience of inability to walk in the things of God. But the Bible says that God can bring you to a place of a fast intervention of God. God can intervene in your circumstances and He can make a change. Bartimaeus cried out and God answered him. May God answer us in these few days of meeting in the name of Jesus. May God answer us and bring about a change. May God answer me and bring about a change in my testimony in the name of Jesus. Now the last one is in that verse 14. And the fourth river is Euphrates. What does Euphrates mean? It means fruitfulness. Amen. Amen. How many people want to be fruitful? We want to be fruitful in God. Amen. The opposite of fruitfulness is famine. You want to be fruitful in your relationship with God. And there is a place in God where you can have that. So you can see that in the house of God, there is a lot of blessing that God has provided. The first one, increase. Increase. The second one, breaking forth. The third one, a rapid intervention. The fourth one, fruitfulness. That's what you find in Zion. Amen. And the Bible says, as many as hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. If you are going to open your heart to God, you will certainly receive a blessing from God. But you see, when we talk about blessing, most people will think about money, dollar. Money and dollar. And food. Prosperity. Yes, we need those things. But what God has in mind for you is bigger than that. Amen. He says, I will give you life and give you abundant life. Amen. The blessing God has for you is not just for the natural man. There is a inward spiritual man within you. The Bible says that a man's life does not consist in how much physical blessing he has. So we are not going to waste time telling you about the physical blessings. Do you know why? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule of righteousness in your soul, in your heart. When righteousness is established in my thoughts, in my emotions, in the things I desire, in the things I think about, the Bible says that all other things will follow. You will not seek the blessings. The blessings will be seeking for you. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches us. So we do not waste time, you know, talking about physical blessings, because God will bring them. There is no man who seeks and walks with God who lacks. David said, I have been old, I have been young, I have never seen the righteous forsaken all his seeds begging bread. Amen.
Amen.
Righteousness brings life. If you seek God with a pure heart, God will visit you. God will bring your soul to that place called Zion. And in Zion, he says there is increase. There is a breakthrough. You don't need to have 40 days of fasting to have breakthrough, because you're already in the place of breakthrough. Every day there will be a breakthrough, because you are dwelling in Zion. There will be the intervention of God. Every day God will intervene in your life. Every day God will make it to be fruitful. Anything you touch your hand, God will bless it and make you fruitful. But first of all, you must be among those who cry and test for righteousness. Because any man who cries for righteousness, God must answer him. Amen. If you cry out for God, he will come to you. So in this meeting, we are going to encourage ourselves to cry out for God. What are we crying out for? We are saying that this inward man is hungry and thirsty for God. We are saying, God, send down your rain of visitation. The Bible says, ask the Lord for rain. That's in Zechariah chapter 10. Say, ask the Lord for rain in the time of a later rain, and he will make bright clouds and send down a mighty outpouring of his spirit. I believe that's what he will give to us this days of waiting on him. And not just these days, if you will develop a relationship of seeking after God, then your life will be a life of visitation. God will always come to you. David was such a man. He was always seeking God. So his life was a life of visitation. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. It's called intervention. He's not saying that you will not have challenges. He said many are the afflictions. It may be that in your life there are too many challenges. But he says, when you pass through the water, I'll be there. When you pass through the fire, I'll be there. There are three Hebrew children. They threw them inside the fire, is it not? Did God forsake them? They say, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not worship your image. We will not bow down." Many Christians are bowing down today to idols in the mind. You know, people worry so much about physical idols. The real idols are in the mind. You know, so the young people have an image that they want to follow. Even the older people also have an image they are following. That is a form of idolatry. So there are images. And the Bible says that when we give ourselves to those things, they become a hindrance. But if we will give ourselves to God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, like David, there will be a visitation of God. So we are going to end now, so that we can spend some time and praying and cry out to God. We'll do a little bit of that this night. I know you are tired, but we will make sure you wake up for the next few minutes. And we want you to cry out to God. You say, "God, hear me." A man, his name was Elijah, he cried out to God. He didn't need to cry too long, and God heard him, and God sent down the fire. If you cry out to God, he's a living God, he will send down fire to burn all the altars and the images in the heart. He will even go to your father's house and burn down the images and the idols there. If we will cry out to God. As we progress in these meetings, these few days, we'll be talking about the visitation of God to our soul, to the inward man. And the Bible says in the book of John, it says, "I wish that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Many of us are not in health because our soul is weak. There is no energy in our soul. The life of God is not there. It's empty. It's weak. It is the soul that gives life to the body. It is your mind that receives energy from God and should give it to your body. But if the mind and the soul is weak, the body will decay. It will be diseased. But God will bring a visitation this weekend. He can turn your situation around. He can visit you. And he will give you a burst of energy, a burst of intervention that will quicken your inner man, that will bring life to your body. You know, to break the bondage of sickness and disease. So we can trust God to visit us this few days as we come to Him. The Bible says, "Blessed are they
that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they must be filled. If you are hungry for God, God will come for you. Amen. Because God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is the one that feeds all the birds in the world. Do you know any bird that has a farm? You know a bird that has farm? How do they eat? God feeds them. Amen. If God feeds the bird, He can visit your soul. Amen. So God created your soul, He can give it life and energy. And He has sent His Spirit. Hallelujah. And in this camp, we are going to pray. Those who are dry in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has dried in our lives. We are going to pray that you receive a fresh anointing, a fresh unction of the Spirit. That dryness will be a thing of the past. But you must cry out to God. You must cry out to God. When you go to your hostel, you must cry out to God. Anywhere you are, you must cry out to God. As for fast tomorrow, it is a time to cry out to God. You say, God, visit me. Send help. Send floods of blessings to my life. And even if there is a difficulty, like Bartimaeus, you will send down help. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to pray. God has been preparing our hearts for what He wants to do this weekend. I want us to begin to cry out. Tell God, I am hungry. Tell God, I am thirsty. Tell God, visit me these few days. Meet me at the, begin to talk to the Lord. Meet me at the front of my room.